gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yeah. Happy Friday, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoy, voice deity Jim Ward, associate producer Rebecca Taylor, who writes, she apologizes for the amount of guests we have today. Rebecca writes, the high volume guests due to overachieving on my part, which I will curb next week. Thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you, Rebecca. There's no room for overachieving on this show.
No, this is a slacker show for sure. We have Eric Bollert, a senior fellow at Media Matters for America, coming up to co-host Right Wing World. Mm-hmm. Christian Weller, economist extraordinaire. Aisha Tyler,
yes,
comedian extraordinaire. Charlie Pierce from the Boston Globe and Representative Maxine Waters. But first, someone who was rescheduled. What's this excuse? I see a meeting at the White House. Like, that's more important than the Stephanie Miller Show. Good morning, fancy legal analyst Ian Millhauser.
Good to be here. I'm still not all that fancy, Stephanie.
In my book, you are. It's not often I get that excuse again. Oh, I have to talk to President Obama instead of
you. You're making me out to be way more important than I am. And you shouldn't talk about these things because Glenn Beck's going to hear you, and then I'm going to be all over his show.
Oh, no. You're going to be on his blackboard.
Exactly.
So, obviously, you know, we're heating up for the big Supreme Court nomination. You already met with the White House? You're meeting later today? What's the deal?
Oh, I haven't met with the White House on this. Unfortunately, you know, the people who know don't talk, and the people who talk don't know. So take everything I say with a grain of salt, because I'm about to talk about the Supreme Court nomination.
See, at least an honest pundit, Chris. Someone says, I'm full of but, you know, I'm just making it up.
Yeah.
You're a little closer to the process, but I know what you mean.
Yeah.
So now he had become a running joke, a bipartisan meeting. I know, bipartisanship in Washington. But he had a meeting with senators about the Supreme Court nomination. What have you heard about that?
I mean, these meetings are largely theater. Bush also held these meetings where he brought in the opposition party. And
yes,
the opposition party, I remember the last time around, made a big deal about how there was this guy named Ed Prado that Bush had put on the Fifth Circuit. And they said, like, we would love it if you nominated Ed Prado. That's the one we could get behind. And have you heard of Ed Prado before?
No.
I mentioned him? Because,
no,
you know, he didn't really go anywhere. and so I suspect that for the Obama White House, this is going to be theater as well. And frankly, I hope it's theater. I mean, the people elected Barack Obama because they thought that they could trust his judgment on these things. And if, you know, they want Mitch McConnell to be selecting the next Supreme Court justice, Mitch McConnell can run for president.
There you go. Well, yeah, and I think it will be theater in the sense, will the Republicans actually pretend that they're not going to oppose anyone that he nominates?
And that's actually one piece of good news there. The White House recently put out this leak statement where they said, you know what, we know that we're going to get opposition no matter who we oppose, and
right,
or no matter who we nominate. And so this is liberating. You know, if there were some people that they get problems for and some people who would be, who would be easier confirmations, they may be inclined to be a little more careful. But they're actually saying, look, if they're going to oppose anyone, we're going to pick who we want.
Well, which is why those of us on the liberal base say, gee, it seems when you're replacing a liberal justice on a court that has already swung dangerously to the right, you would pick someone really liberal. Is that going to happen?
You know, a week ago, so there's basically three models that Obama could follow. One, and I don't think this is too likely, is the compromise model. And the name that you've seen floated in that regard is Judge Merrick Garland on the D.C. Circuit, who's very, very bright, but he's perceived as fairly conservative on criminal issues. There's some cases indicating he's weak on gay rights. So he would be sort of the compromise model. There's the mysterious nominee. This would be someone like Solicitor General Elena Kagan, who doesn't have much of a record. And so the idea is you nominate someone like Kagan, and they're easy to confirm because there's no dirt on her, because she just hasn't said all that much that's all that controversial. And then there's the aggressive model. And the aggressive model would be someone like Judge Diane Wood on the Seventh Circuit, who has you know, had the misfortune of being randomly assigned a few abortion cases. She's been randomly assigned a number of significant religion cases. So in all these hot button issues, we know exactly what she thinks. And, you know, the right isn't going to like what she thinks on a lot of these issues.
Well, right. But, Ian, do you take – I mean, you know, I took heart from what the president said yesterday
right.
about choosing someone specifically about women's rights. And
right.
he specifically – I mean, that's the closest I think I've heard a president come to saying, you know – this judge has to respect a woman's right to privacy, right? I mean, he pretty much came out and said it.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And it's certainly nice to see progressive presidents talking in the way that conservative presidents have talked on this issue. George Bush sure didn't
Well, but that makes
views.
Me think it might be Diane Wood is what I'm asking, right?
Yeah, it could very well be. And, you know, Wood and Obama have a long relationship. They both taught at the University of Chicago together before he was president and before she was a judge. And she
– Oh, so she'll be part of the Jeremiah Wright cabal then, I'm guessing, on the that'll be the right-wing talking point.
Oh, no. I mean, they'll make her out to be Bill Ayers or whatever.
Right.
The
yes.
good news with Wood, though, is you already see them overreaching. So she does have one case where she was on – which is an abortion case where she was overruled by the – where she was reversed by the Supreme Court. But the facts on that case are Operation Rescue. I'm sure you remember them, the people who, like,
yep.
break into abortion clinics and chain themselves in front of it.
Yep.
And in this case, we're breaking into abortion clinics and ransacking them.
Yep.
Well, Judge Wood wrote an opinion saying that not only is that criminal, but it's so criminal that it's a RICO violation, and you can go after the organization that's telling them to do it. And the Supreme Court disagreed with her on a very technical legal issue.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, let's tell the truth here. I don't think anyone thinks that it's okay to go into someone's place of business and ransack it, no matter what that place of business was. You know, what if it was a school? What if it was your church? Is the right going to say that it's okay if I don't approve of your church for me to go in and ransack the place?
Right.
So, you know, I think she's standing on pretty firm ground right there, even if there was a technical legal issue that the Supreme Court disagreed with her on.
Mm-hmm. No, if you're a right-winger, you're only allowed to do that if you're a filmmaker slash prankster that's
right.
Filming stuff for Fox News.
Dressed as a pimp.
Yeah, no, dressed as a pimp.
There's immunity if you are O'Keefe, apparently. Yes. The law doesn't apply to you.
Yes. Yeah, then it's just funny. So, you know, it's interesting. You were talking about Elena Kagan. I mean, obviously, the news story that came out about that, about this conservative blogger at CBS sort of, discussing rumors about her rumored lesbianism. I mean, it really is amazing, isn't it? And then he takes it back. I mean, the right wing, though, casts anybody as an activist who might even possibly be gay. Right.
Yeah, no,
I mean, it's like it has anything to do with her rulings or her ability as a judge, right? I mean,
and of course, the blogger that you mentioned is Ben Domenech, how he pronounces his last name, who is the guy who was fired after 3 days of working for the Washington Post because of his long record of plagiarism.
Right.
So, you know, this is the guy who's going out there. Yeah, like, I think the case against Elena Kagan is that she has short hair and that means she must be gay.
Yes,
and if that's really the game that they want to play, bring it on. Because,
right. You
know, I don't think that the American people are going to stand for, you know, whether she is gay or not, are going to stand for that kind of overt bigotry. You know, we
right.
don't engage, you know, people don't like employment discrimination, and that includes when you're being hired for the Supreme
right.
Court.
Well, and Ian, I don't know if you saw the movie. I always reference this movie. I love The Contender with Joan Allen. You know, she was up to be a vice president, and, you know, it was the same thing, like some rumor about something sexual in her past that she could have easily disproved, but she said, you know, I'm not going to answer that question on the ground. That it makes it okay that you asked it. And, you know, she sort of stood on principle and said, I'm not going to address this. And I think that's sort of the issue here is, you know, not only is it not relevant, it's up to somebody. It's her business, you know,
if she
wants to talk about her personal life or not.
You know, I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, you know, so long as we have anti-gay bigotry, and again, I don't know anything about Elena Kagan's sexual orientation. It's none of my business. But she certainly has the right to decide, you know, what she wants people to know about, you know, who she's sleeping with. And that's, you know, I agree, it's completely inappropriate to bring that up as if that.
Well, you know,
is,
it's the same issue that came up when, you know, Ricky Martin. I mean, look, he's not someone that's, you know, actively been working against gay rights his whole life. life, like some of these Republican, you know, guys that have, you know, been involved in these scandals. I mean, he's someone that wanted to talk about it on his own personal time frame. And so, you know, that's raised a lot of interesting issues. But I love how the right wing automatically puts that out there, like, clearly it's a bad thing. Clearly that's a negative if she is.
To be fair, you know, pantsuits are very scary, and Elena Kagan does like pantsuits. So, you know, that means she might come and eat you when you're asleep.
That's why Hillary's not president. Pantsuits, you know.
That if it's the pantsuits, you know, she's the commander-in-chief right now.
That's what it is. It's not what's happening inside it. It's just the pantsuit itself.
Oh, yeah. God.
So what is the what have you heard about the time frame for when the president will decide? Next month, I assume, right?
Yeah. What I've heard is the first 2 weeks of May, probably no later than May 15th. Mm-hmm. Now, recently, the White House has been talking about how they've got so many lists, and, you know, the president's a bit like a kid in a candy store because there's so many great nominees out there, or potential nominees out there, and he gets to look at them all. And so, you know, who knows if it will be pushed a little later. But the most recent firm date I've heard is sometime between the 1st and the 15th of May.
Hmm. And Ian Millhiser, if you were a betting man, say you were Bill Bennett, who would you bet on? Do you have a feeling on who's going to nominate?
This week I was almost certain it was going to be Elena Kagan. This week I'm a little less certain. I think that Diane Wood's stock is a little higher. But I think if I had to put money on it, I think that Kagan, I think that the White House is more likely to go with a nominee that has that doesn't have a very difficult record. And so they're more likely to go with someone like Kagan than someone like Wood.
I think it's interesting that he would nominate two women in a row for the Supreme Court.
Well, you know, after we had, what was it, like 108 men in a row?
Yeah, that's true.
No one commented on that.
Yeah, okay. Just saying.
You know, trust me, I started doing stand-up, Ian, way back in the day, and they would never put more than one woman on the bill. They're like, well, we already have a woman. Like, you know, nothing said about the billions of men.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, you bring up the Wood, you know, abortion clinic rulings, and I thought, isn't that interesting, Ian? That really is a question of law and order. It really is not even a question about the subject of abortion when you think about it, and you think, what happened? I thought they were the law and order party, conservatives. I mean, it really is. I was reading because I think I just read something about how George Tiller's murderer, he didn't really like it in prison very much. He's not really very happy. And what other criminal wouldn't the right wing go, who cares?
Yeah. No, it's exactly right. I mean, when you look at what was really the issue in that one clinic's case, you could have taken the exact same people, you could have moved them to a shop, you could have moved them to a mall, you could have moved them to a church, and they were doing the exact same thing, and it would be the same case, and it would be just as wrong.
Right. Well, it's interesting with all of this, you know, the anniversary of the Oklahoma City bombing. Chris, didn't we have a caller yesterday that literally was, you know, well, Rush, of course, blamed it on Clinton and because of Waco. And I mean, just this ridiculous. And then I think a caller yesterday said, well, this is anti-government. It's like Tiananmen Square. Excuse me? This was a criminal that boarded himself up with a million firearms, refused to give up at Waco. You know, they make this analogy, you know, and you think, what happened to this guy was a criminal?
Yeah, and you just have to wonder, like, you know, look at the thing that set them over the edge. Like, you know, the Iraq War didn't bother them so much. Bush bankrupting the country to give tax cuts to the rich didn't bother them so much. But Obama wants to make sure that everyone can afford their health insurance, and, you know, we got to go to war with the government over that.
Yeah, exactly. Ian Millhiser, you are delightful in a legal and every other sense.
Well, and thank you so much.
I tried to keep you longer just to see if you dump me for the president, but you run along to your little meeting on Capitol Hill now.
Much more important than I am.
Oh.
Ian Millhiser, legal analyst for the Center for American Progress. Thank you so much for your time, as always.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ian. There we go.
Yay.
I always call him a legal animus.
Animus?
And that's not what I mean. There is no animus between us at all.
No.
He's an analyst.
Yes,
which
he
is entirely different.
Very, very different.
21 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Who are those freaks?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 26 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Edna in Chicago on the Supreme Court nomination. Hi, Edna.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead.
Okay, so two quick things. One, it would just make my life if I could be the official Chardonnay, it's what's for dinner liaison for the Stephanie Miller Show.
So done. So my kind of gal.
And two, we've been talking about, you know, the potential for a lesbian or maybe not lesbian Supreme Court justice. What
yes.
about a gay president? When do you think the right's going to be ready for that?
Let me guess. Never.
Yeah. They were barely ready for a black president.
Yeah.
But what if it's one of their own? I mean, if they're ready, you know, when do you think? 10, 50, 200?
Well, I'm going to say when hell freezes over, which could be soon if a Republican president gets in, because then we'll do nothing about global warming. So I'm just saying it could happen at the same time, Chris, oddly enough. All right. Glenn in L.A., we've been trying to name our weekly Alan Grayson segment, the Congressman Extraordinaire. Go ahead, Glenn.
Yes, Stephanie, I would say just go with GR, with Grayson.
With Grayson?
Yes.
Is there a Mrs. Grayson? I'm not sure how she would feel about that.
If there is, I'm not sure she would be too happy.
I did like Grossum with Grayson, but we just thought maybe ball humor and a congressman, not so much.
Yeah, you can say that. Even though he does have them.
I'll say the biggest set in the party.
Absolutely.
However, this is what I've narrowed it down to so far of all the nominations that came in yesterday, because it's going to be like Tom Hartman has with Bernie Sanders. It's brunch with Bernie, right?
Exactly.
Yes. So these are the finalists in the naming the Alan Grayson Weekly. And he'll take, you know, calls from listeners and stuff. State of Grayson. Amazing Grayson. And Face the Grayson.
I like Face the Grayson.
Oh, very clever. And there was one that had Alan in it towards the end of the show yesterday, and my Chardonnay-addled brain cannot retain it.
If anyone
remembers what the one that had Alan in it.
It was towards the end of the show, and you wrote it down. So that's great, and all you wrote down was Alan.
Yeah, this is like when I write jokes down when I'm drinking at night on a cocktail napkin. I wrote Alan, That's what I wrote yesterday. It was good. I just don't remember it. All right. By the way, one quick email from... I'll be on the Ed Show on MSNBC tonight, by the way. But one quick email on Sue Loudon. She's the, she's the Republican running against Harry Reid that said you should offer your doctor a chicken.
Yes.
Mark in Chicago writes, Sue Loudon is clucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
29 minutes after the hour, Right Wing World with Eric Bollard from Media Matters is next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Hey, I'm no relationship expert. The last time I used a birth control device, it was the 70s, and it looked like soap on a rope.
Someone sent that in after I made another IUD reference?
Probably.
34 minutes after
Although,
the hour.
Didn't the sponge look like soap on a rope? Because it had that little rope attached to it.
Yes.
Not that I'm a birth control expert or anything.
1-800-STEP-1-2. You're not? That's where I always. That's where you're the first person I would think of to go to.
Oh, that's why you hired me.
1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Okay, it was not Palin with Alan.
Right.
But thank you. That was not the Alan Grayson project either. And it wasn't the Alan Grayson project. All good suggestions, but
yes.
No.
Computer says no.
No, it was something else with Alan. Come on, help Mama. You know the wires flap around in my brain, and the listeners help me out. You know what I meant. Okay. old movie references, just, you know. Mark in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Mark.
Hey, Mama. How about
Hello.
Getting down with Grayson?
I think that's a good one. We had that one yesterday, but no.
Computer says no.
Was it Facing Grayson?
Oh, maybe it was. Okay, Marcus in Minneapolis. Go ahead, Marcus.
Yeah, hey, Mama, I just thought it was Palin with Alan also, so I guess I missed that one.
All right. That's all right, honey. Thanks for helping. Thanks for, you know, this is what happens as Mama becomes elderly. The whole show will consist of me going,
what did I
and then someone will call in,
yeah.
or live blog, and then I'll fill in the blanks. It's like that old improv game where I can't think of something and everybody else just fills in the, I'm like, it's like an old George Bush speech, remember?
Yeah.
Fool me once. Okay, what did that come in here for? All right.
There's an old saying in Tennessee. I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. It fooled me. We can't get fooled again.
Well, I see. I can't remember now what it was you just said the Allen one was. What was it?
Face and Grayson.
That's not with Alan, though. I'm ready.
No, I know.
Okay. All right, you don't know either.
Well, I don't. I was pushing a button or something.
Are we tracking down Eric Bollard again, for God's sakes?
Yes, we are.
Right. He's becoming unreliable as every other man in my life.
He's slippery, that one.
All right. In the meantime, don't forget Mama on the Ed Show tonight on MSNBC. We'll post that up on StephanieMiller.com. You can email us there as well. This is some breaking news from Tommy.
What?
I loved Archie comics when I was a kid. Did you read?
I did.
I loved Archie.
And I heard about this, too.
I'd hold up in my room just like with millions of them.
You were Veronica, weren't you?
Yes, I was. I was the dark-haired whore.
But I heard about this. This is very unexpected.
Archie Comics welcomes the gay to Riverside? Yeah. Riverdale? Riverside, what?
Riverdale.
See, I can't remember that. Riverdale. Pat Robertson's head is going to explode, Steph. Kevin Keller is the this posting. I know some of you fellow Archie aficionados might be saying, but isn't Jughead kind of gay, too? Well, yes, but... But we know he loved burgers more than anything. But the whole storyline is that Veronica, the comic strip whore, is chasing Kevin through the whole thing, and then finds out that he's a gay.
Yeah,
he's a gay.
He's got the gay on him.
Yeah. How much you want to bet Pat Robertson's gonna have something to say about that?
Yeah.
Hilarious. All right. Oh, and this next
Bazooka Joe is gonna be gay.
What? Yes, the other, Tommy sent us this story. I was talking to, Ian Milheiser about this. The man convicted of killing Wichita abortion provider George Tiller, not finding prison's accommodations to his liking. Mm. Scott Roeder has filed a petition complaining about his treatment as well as asking for his, release.
Oh.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Take care now.
Bye-bye,
then.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Why doesn't he write a letter to Mrs. Tiller asking how... You know, she likes
yeah, how's she
her
doing? How's
around?
She enjoying her accommodations without her husband, I wonder? Okay. Tommy has sent a SAT test part 3. This is really getting quite... I was not told there would be quite so much studying.
Oh, jeez.
To do with the Stephanie Miller Show. This is your Stephanie aptitude test. It must be bad when even I don't know the answers to some of these... What is the name of the roller derby queen who calls the show, and where does she live? Oh, well, that's easy.
Lavender Pit
in Arizona.
In Tucson.
She's the official roller derby queen of the Stephanie Miller.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And she's also a school teacher, which is so awesome.
And we asked if she teaches on skates, but I think she said no.
No, she, yeah.
Stephanie is known for her raven hair, and it is a wig, hair extensions, natural, or the results of chemicals, dyes, and Hong Kong hair straightening. That would be the latter.
Yeah. Hong Kong hair straightening? I thought it was Japanese.
It's Japanese. I don't know. He doesn't know. He's a boy. All right. Rebecca Taylor's actions toward Ms. Miller are an act. True or false? Rebecca really does like Ms. Miller. I don't think anyone really knows the answer to that. I don't.
She doesn't like much of anybody. Have you seen the thing that she wrote at the bottom of your screen here?
Do not say that about our friend Eric Bollard. Still trying to find flaky asshat bowlers?
Yeah.
Well, he flaked on us once this week, and we rescheduled him for right now. So I don't think anyone has even noticed until we just brought that up that I'm stretching for time right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Waiting for Eric Bollard to dive into the right-wing world.
And he is no in casa.
How about that? Okay. All right, Jim Ward's wonderful character, or the oversexed middle-aged man, goes by the name of, this is so easy, Squeezy McFeelpants.
Yeah.
And he has an English cousin by the name of, what is that? Oh, Mashy McGrabass would be the English. He has one in every language, doesn't he?
Yeah, there was one in German, too.
Yeah, I can't remember though. Now I can't even remember the other ones.
No, I can't either. It's been a while
Spanish
since...
one is the Pantalones, something... I don't know. All right. In real life, Jim Ward's wife's name is Jamelia June or Jessica. No.
None of those.
See, we don't even remember her real name now. I'm pretty sure it's Janice. I think it is Janice.
Oh, my God. I call her Janiqua. Oh, my God.
Yeah, exactly. Because somebody, one of our listener hoes that is jealous that Jim is married, keeps calling her by the wrong name on purpose, right. And now nobody even remembers.
Right.
What Juniper Berry's name is. All right. Oh, by the by, at StephanieMiller.com, we had up, we were one of the many Hitler parodies. we used it at the live show here. It's hilarious. Yes. A listener did a...
From the movie Downfall.
Yes. It was about Sean Hannity's Freedom Concerts, and I was frequently mentioned by Hitler.
Yes.
As a drunken slut. I don't know. It was very funny. But so now nobody can, now no one can, we can't have nice Hitler things anymore.
No, we can't.
Because everybody used it for everything. It was a wildly popular YouTube thing. People use subtitles for everything.
Yes, it was a meme, an internet meme, as they call it.
Stephanie Miller. I think that's the cause. I think I'm the reason we can't have nice things. I think I was the last straw.
Probably.
It got used for parody of Xbox games, Kanye West, Apple's new iPad. Everybody used it for everything.
Yep.
But I think they decided that was the one too many. The Stephanie Miller parody, too much. On Tuesday, the clips on YouTube, many of which have been watched by hundreds of thousands, even millions, began disappearing from the site. The film company that owns the rights to the film asked for them to be removed, and YouTube complied. Come on.
Great. You broke the internet, Stephanie.
All right. Oh, by the way, here's something for you.
What?
Ben & Jerry's has blended brown liquor into its newest ice cream.
Sweet!
Yeah,
wow.
There you go. Something for you. Bonnaroo Buzz.
All right.
It comes, it's light coffee and malt ice cream with whiskey caramel squirrels. Swirls. See, if you drink too much brown liquor, you might
think it's squirrels.
Put squirrels.
Yeah.
But no, it's whiskey caramel swirls in there.
That kind of sounds good.
See, that's what you would drink at 3 in the morning after drinking games with brown liquor.
Squirrels.
As you're about to drunk dial your ex. Okay, let's go to Vinny in Baltimore. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Vinny.
Hey, Steph, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
The lady said the Alan Grayson Project.
Yeah, no, that was a good one, but that wasn't the one I'm thinking of.
It was something with Alan. Right?
Yes. That's okay. That's what I wrote down in my drunken end of the show swirl.
Alan.
Okay, Andy in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Steph. I don't remember the Alan Grayson thing, but I would suggest that you purchase the StephCast. I hear it's cheaper if you buy it a whole year at a time.
Okay, thank you.
She's going to make me listen to it.
I have to listen back to my own show. Oh, how nice of him to mention it's only $4.95 a year if you buy it.
Because that's your favorite thing in the world is to listen to your own show.
Instead of wasting a whole nother show trying to get someone to remember what happened in yesterday's show. Hello, Russell in Illinois.
Oh, good morning, gracious ones. How about
thank you.
Grayson's bitch slap or Alan's bitch slap, however you want to phrase it. But he focuses on one topic a week or a show and just pummels it down. You know what I'm saying?
All right. We're trying to keep some level of dignity, which I know you're not accustomed to here on the Stephanie Miller Show. But, you know, it involves a congressperson whom we respect and love.
Absolutely.
All right. Denny in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi. My name is real simple. Going Grayson. But could I say one more thing, something? Since Chevy has now paid all the money back with interest, and our President Obama, the Fuhrer, is not the head of GM anymore, we should point out that he didn't build one Volkswagen.
Oh,
yes.
See.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
All right. I get it. Let's go to Dan in Bloomington, Illinois. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, yeah, since you guys have a morning show, I thought it should be called Get Up with Grayson. And the theme song, of course, would be Bob Marley. Get up, stand up, stand up for your rights.
That's actually a good one. That's cute.
Yeah.
I thought he was making a sex joke, which would be... someone yesterday did say getting it up with Grayson, which...
No, that's inappropriate.
Computer says no.
Yeah.
That doesn't contain the necessary gravitas for a member of Congress.
No. Hey, guess what? Congratulations to us for stalling for an entire segment while Rebecca tries to track down a flaky asshat Eric Bollert, who we love, but has gone missing twice. You know what? I'm diving into Right Wing World Alone next.
Let's do that. I'll dive in with you. How's that?
I'm tired of waiting for a man to show up.
45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm sorry, that's inappropriate.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Warm it up. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Why would you want to warm up a milkshake?
I don't know. That makes no sense,
no.
Does it?
Mm-mm.
All right, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. There she is, Lavender Pitt, the official roller derby queen of the Stephanie Miller Show from Tucson, Arizona. Good morning.
Morning, Mama. Morning, Luke.
Good morning.
Hello.
I'm a little gratified this morning, I have to say.
Because you made it into the SAT test.
Yes, you're on the Steph Aptitude Test.
If it's going to be an SAT test, we need to get a vocabulary word like effulgent or corpuscular in there. But as far as Mr. Grayson is concerned, does this mean that I get a whack at Olbermann?
You little hoa. All right. yes, we, by the way, so we're diving into the right-wing world. Eric Bollard, who he's a little scamp. We don't know where he is.
No.
But he has a great piece you should read this week about, when you know, this myth of the mainstream or the liberal media.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, Fox News we can expect stuff on. But he was talking about stuff that, like, Rush says. Nobody even covers it. Like, it's
right.
Just okay. I don't know if you heard. I think we played that bit, didn't we, last week in Right Wing World, Chris? Where he literally blamed President Clinton for Oklahoma City.
Right.
He said, President Clinton's ties to the domestic terrorism of Oklahoma City are tangible. No news stories. I mean, seriously, there is such a double standard that if a liberal person says anything, it is, back to, it's everywhere.
Right.
I mean, how do you get away with saying something like that? All right. By the way, Bob in Akron was the one that wrote me just another example. Hey, Steph, listening to the podcast, only $4.95, I'm told, if you buy a year in advance. $4.95 a month.
Yep.
What a deal. From Tuesday's show, in the third hour, you play a drop in which a Second Amendment teabagger, Dick Heller, was declaring war against oppression and citing Tiananmen Square, Waco, and Kent State as examples. Excuse me? Waco was an example of a criminal, David Koresh, who had a lawful arrest warrant against him and refused to surrender, decided to take out as many people as possible as he went out in a blaze of glory.
Yep.
I'm tired of people holding up David Koresh and Timothy McVeigh as freedom fighters to compare those holes and what they did to those protesting at Tiananmen Square or Kent State is both ignorant and an outrage. Bob in Akron, thank you very much.
Yes, very good point.
All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, shall we, and see what's doing. Charles Krauthammer on the Britt Baer show.
Ripper.
Is this kind of partisan rhetoric in which he refuses to accept the very legitimacy of people who argue against him, which I think is distressing in a president, and particularly one who paints himself, as he did in 08, and he does today, as the man who stands above all the partisanship and all the pettiness and all the special interests. He's a politician like all of us, and when he pretends that he hovers above the fray like a neutral arbiter, it's grating.
Excuse me. It seems to me the president makes his position, and he often does it with humor. I don't think he's dismissing arguments against him. He, like any president, is stating his side of the argument.
Right.
I think that's another code for uppity.
Yeah. It seems like the Republicans are opposing the president on a basis of style and not substance. You know,
yeah.
they find him grating.
Yes, because he appears to know stuff.
Exactly.
All right. Speaking of the drug-addled gas bag, here he is on the.
Obama's doing exactly what they accused Ronald Reagan of. They accused Reagan of purposely running up a whole bunch of spending so that government would have to be slashed. Remember that accusation. Reagan was spending all the money because it was the only way to get government to start cutting back. Now Obama's actually doing it. And Obama's doing it so that taxes would have to be raised tremendously.
Oh, isn't he clever?
He's sneaky that way.
And he wants to raise taxes because meanwhile, the truth is actually that he's lowered taxes on 95% of Americans. Welcome to the pineapple upside down world of right wing world. Okay, Glenn.
Well, no, what kills me is that, you know, they spew these lies and their listeners believe it.
I know.
That's what kills me.
Yeah, that was the twistiest twist I've heard on how you defend Reagan for raising taxes four times and the tax rate actually being much higher then than it is now and how you spin that. That was spinny. Mm. All right, Glenn Beck on the radio. Huh, that's weird. He doesn't believe in the science of global warming, I'm guessing?
No.
Climate change? No.
Happy Earth Day.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yes, I am too. I'm going to burn garbage in my backyard with styrofoam.
Okay. Must we? Dennis Miller
on O'Reilly.
Does he still have Nancy Pelosi jokes?
Yeah.
Well, of course, jokes normally refers to something that would be funny. But
I more scoff at Washington because it looks to me like buffoonery is the coin of the realm. If they were a little more precise or astute at what they were doing, I might get a little scared, but I look up there, and it looks like a bunch of idiots banging on pots with wooden spoons. So I'm not really, it's not that I don't trust them. I don't think they're smart enough. I mean, Pelosi is stopping electric fan with her tongue stupid. So do I trust her? No.
I don't trust them either.
See, Chris, we could give a little comedy tutorial because we are helpers here on the Stephanie Miller Show. You see, really funny comedy tends to be based on stuff that's true.
Right.
And you may disagree with Nancy Pelosi.
But she's not.
But calling her stupid is just kind of like eighth grade schoolyard stuff that is not based on anything actually true. I don't think anyone would call the first female speaker of the House stupid.
Right. They would call that an ad hominem attack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's sort of like okay. Mm-hmm. All right, got it. Mm-hmm. All right, Greg Gutfeld from the awful Red Eye program on that's supposed to be a right wing comedy program. I'm told. I stumbled across that in the middle of the night. By the way,
don't ever do that again.
A lot of the critics are saying this is racial profiling. Duh. They're coming from another country. That's what you do. You have to look at them and see who they are before you know they're legal or illegal. I don't think that's a fair criticism.
But
yes. Dopey McDoperson, that's exactly what racial profiling is. He's talking about the Arizona law.
Right.
Duh! Okay. wow. All right. Dennis Miller and Dick Cheney on the Dennis Miller's radio show?
Yeah.
Oh, that's...
By the way, I also want to thank you, and on the list of things I feel I should thank you for, almost kicking Patrick Leahy's ass. Thank you very much. I mean, I love that movie. One of my favorite stories. Muttering that.
I realize how many people liked that. That's sort of the best thing I ever did.
Oh, it was the best thing he ever did.
Ha, ha, ha. Yes. Telling a United States senator to go himself. Yeah, that's something to be proud of. That's, you know, no matter, you know, where you come down on debate, that's certainly something to be proud of, your conduct. Mm-hmm. O'Reilly.
Why do these far-left loons fear the Tea Party so much? Why is the liberal media obsessed with running down that movement?
I don't know. Because they're a bunch of racist dopes?
Yep.
I don't know. I'll just answer for all of us. Okay. Phew. That was kind of, you know what, that didn't sit well. I have indigestion from that right-wing world.
Uh-oh.
I do. 58 minutes after the hour, back with Christian Weller, economist extraordinaire, and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Don't forget Mama on the Ed Show tonight on MSNBC at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lloyd, voice deity Jim Ward, associate producer Rebecca Taylor. for me, Stephanie Miller. All right, it's that time of the week when we go talk to Christian Weller, fancy economist guy for the Center for American Progress. Good morning, Christian. Hello. Oops, wait, I didn't hit the button right. Maybe it was my fault
there
again.
We go.
Good morning, Christian.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Thanks so much for taking time for us, as always. Well, I have to have you translate economic into regular laypersonese. I see a headline today, Rosie reports, home sales jumps, jobless claims fall. The economy is improving with home sales up, jobless claims down, and inflation tame. Yet there are concerns the economic rebound won't get much juice from the housing market, which is being fueled by government tax breaks. Explain all that to me. Better or worse? It's like an economic eye exam. Better or worse now? Better or worse?
Yeah, well, we'll try to keep this. The primary numbers that came out today that are very important are two statistics. One is the new home sales. They jumped by 27%. And then the other one is durable goods orders. They jumped by 3%. The reason why these two numbers are important is they're basically investments in the future. When people buy a home, they make long-term plans. And the same is true for durable goods. When a company buys goods that last at least 3 years, they're making long-term plans. So when these numbers go up, and they have jumped much more than expected, that signals that confidence in the private sector in the economy is returning, and that means that we have a strong recovery, people are willing to spend money, people are willing to put their money down and saying, like, yeah, this is for real, and I'm going to buy a house, and I'm going to be here, and this because I believe the jobs will come back and that this we're on the right track. The fear is more so on the housing side than on the durable goods side is more the businesses. On the new home side, the worry is that this is a temporary blip that is fueled by this new home buyer credit that expires at the end of April.
Oh, right. Okay.
So that's the fear. But because the durable goods numbers, the business investment numbers, are also very positive, I think that the fear is a little, we can rest a little bit easier, saying, like, okay, well, maybe home buyers will pull back a little bit later in the spring, but businesses are clearly booming. We've seen durable goods orders now going up 4 months in a row. The jump, it doesn't seem that much, but almost 3% jump in durable goods orders is a very significant jump. It's three times as large as people had expected. That really says that businesses now are coming out of the woodwork. They're spending the money. We know they're sitting on cash. They're beginning to spend that money. They're willing to invest, and that's exactly what we need at this point, because more investment ultimately means more hiring, and that means more growth, and so on and so forth.
Christian, you brought up the housing market as the one that keeps befuddling me. You know, I've talked to my realtor in L.A., and she says, oh, you know, I'm doing better. Like, things are better. But then I read, you know, home prices could fall another 10 to 20%, and, you know, and she's also mentioned the this flood of foreclosures, you know, that they're saying that the housing rebound could fade in the second half of this year if they let all these foreclosures hit the market, right?
Well, the housing market is an odd issue. The first one, I think, is easy to explain. When house prices fall, house sales at least should go up because it's easier for people to actually afford a house if people like you are willing to sell for a lower price.
No! Oh, I'm sorry.
but
I didn't mean to make this personal.
Generally, home sellers have been becoming more accepting of the fact that prices are a little lower than they used to be. The massive wave of foreclosure does is unknown because we've never had this many foreclosed properties that could come on the market. You got to remember, we have over 10% of all mortgages that are either delinquent or in foreclosure. So there's this huge backlog of homes that could come on the market. Now, the banks that own these homes, though, have enough cash that they can put them on the market gradually. Because if you're a big bank and you own a lot of foreclosed properties, it makes no sense to say, like, let's hold a fire sale and throw them all out for $10,000, right? You want to put them on the market gradually so you can recover as much money as possible. So what that means is that foreclosed properties will come gradually in the market. They won't disrupt prices that much, but they will probably hurt the recovery in new home sales.
Okay. All right, let's talk financial reform, since that's obviously what job A here in Washington. So Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid said he will not wait for Democrats and Republicans to reach a bipartisan compromise on Wall Street reform. Thank you. Perhaps we've learned our lesson on health care. Scheduling the first key test vote for Monday. He says they're not going to waste any more of the American time of the American people while they come up with some agreement. The games of stalling are over. So do you feel confident they're going to get something meaningful done?
Can we say every time Republicans walk into a room, fat cat bankers? I mean, this whole notion that they're holding up financial regulatory reform, which we desperately need, which is popular, which is necessary for economic growth, over, I don't know exactly what, over essentially not wanting to tax the bankers who are making out like bandits right now. I think we need to hang that around there, Nick. But the issue here is I think financial regulatory reform will move. It's necessary for the economy. It's also politically the right thing to do. If you look at the numbers, if you look at the poll numbers, people really understand that you do need more transparency. You need less.
Right. I think the Republicans are having a harder time, you know, lying about this, particularly with Frank Luntz's memo becoming public.
Yes.
That tells them to lie
and say this fund is
a bailout fund.
I mean, we can talk about what the Frank Luntz memo says and why this is silly, but essentially what Republicans are trying to come up with an argument here that makes it sound like they're against the bankers while they're actually making the bankers bidding. I think when you look at all the other poll numbers, people see through that very quickly.
I love Mitch McConnell is saying, I don't think bipartisanship is a waste of time. Suddenly they're so interested in partisanship, a party that hasn't given us one vote on anything.
Mitch McConnell really, I think he doesn't quite know what he should make of this financial regulatory reform.
Right.
I think they're really afraid. And I think that's what the noises are that you hear from the Republicans. They are afraid that we're going to call them the friends of fat cat bankers on a regular basis. And that's exactly what they are. I mean, they're opposing a requirement for the banks to fund a resolution fund of $50 billion. It's not a tax on taxpayers. It is a requirement on the banks to say, like, okay, well, if you want to speculate with other people's money, things can go wrong, and we want to make sure if things go wrong that there is something that will backstop that and that we can unwind you as big banks without dipping into the taxpayers' pockets like we did this time around.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know who – did you see this story? I don't know who has sympathy for these big bank guys. The Goldman Sachs CEO, he said – he told clients in a phone call yesterday he feels under siege due to the SEC probe. He apparently channeled his inner Glenn Beck, reportedly telling investors the government's out to kill his firm.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, that's like every criminal saying, I feel under siege by the DA's office.
yeah.
I mean, if you do things wrong, if you flaunt regulatory requirements, if you lie to your clients, you mislead them, there's a price to pay. And the price here is... It's not even like a big price. And yes, Goldman Sachs under investigation and so on and so forth. But when it comes to this financial regulatory reform, it says, okay, well, we're going to say like, okay, well, eventually there may be another crisis. Eventually some big banks will fail. And we want to make sure that we don't have to go to the taxpayers again. So we're going to ask you banks who are making out like bandits in this crisis to put some of this money away for a rainy day. So when things go wrong, we have this fund that we can dip into. Just to give you a sense, this fund, we're talking $50 billion, that's about 3 years worth of bonuses on Wall Street.
Yep.
I think that's a small price to pay to make sure that the system remains stable in the long run.
Here's my favorite thing about the Republicans on this issue is now they're lying about the Frank Luntz memo that tells them to lie about financial reform. They're saying they can't quite remember where their main talking point against financial reform legislation came from, but they insist it did not come from Frank Luntz. And one of them said, we've been talking about it way before Luntz. Frank Luntz is like going, yeah, I wrote it. Yes.
Well, I mean, the Luntz memo is one thing, and then the other part is they tried to flip over the weekend with Scott Brown saying it creates jobs, but then I don't know whether you followed this. Scott Brown, I think, was on this week or something like that on Sunday, where he said in Massachusetts it will destroy something like 25,000 to 30,000 jobs, and people said, like, well, that would mean 20% of all financial sector jobs in Massachusetts would be gone with this regulatory reform. And then he's like, well, I got the numbers from MassMutual, and MassMutual said, like, no, you didn't. And And that kind of foolishness, he couldn't explain why he opposed the reform. That kind of foolishness is, I think, un-American. It's unproductive. It hurts the economy. And I hope we can move beyond that and actually get the financial regulatory reform done so that there is certainty, there's predictability. People know that politicians are doing whatever is necessary to prevent another crisis. If banks fail, the banks will actually pay for their own failures in the long run. I think that's the right approach.
That's he's tricky, that Frank Luntz. It was like all those Bush bills that were the opposite of what they were, you know, the Friendly Skies Act and the or whatever, the Friendly Forest and the Clear Skies Act.
He's a creative messaging person.
Well, you got to give him that. He is.
It's like, okay, that's the
PSYOPs.
Yeah, it's saying it's a bank bailout bill is like the exact. It's exactly the opposite of what's true. It's it is a bill to prevent future bailouts.
Right.
Christian Weller, economist extraordinaire. Thank you as always for your time. See you next week.
Thank you.
All right, there we go.
Bye-bye.
Yes, World War II was the Imperial Japan Restoration Project.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, the president came to New York yesterday to talk to directly to the Wall Street guys. You know how I know?
How do you know?
Because traffic sucks, and I almost missed my MSNBC hit.
Oh, that's right.
And Vice President Biden was in the NBC building. Oh,
yes.
I was like, what?
He was Biden was also on The View yesterday, and he explained what happened after
the BFD.
We have that on
the I almost missed my MSNBC hit, and then I was arguing with a right-wing asshat, and I wish I had missed it. I'll tell you what his financial reform argument is as we continue.
Kill the poor?
Pardon me?
Kill the poor?
That'll work.
Pretty much.
Yes, that's it. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the latest on financial reform on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ow. I just snarfed oatmeal out my nose. It must be The Stephanie Miller Show.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to
Stephanie Miller.
I want money.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 23 minutes after the hour. On time today, because the president's gone. And his little sidekick, Vice President. Oh,
yeah.
Like traffic could be any worse in New York, for God's sakes. I heard people had to circle at the airport for like half an hour, 45 minutes, because the president was in our airspace or
whatever.
The president is headed for Asheville, North Carolina.
Yes. Our home of our affiliate in Asheville, North Carolina.
Our long-time affiliate of
long-time.
Yeah.
Yes.
The Revolution.
Absolutely. Yeah. We love us some Revolution.
Love us some Asheville, North Carolina. We're happy to share the president and our sucky traffic with you. Enjoy. Oh, Jim, speaking of financial reform, who said, I listen to the American people and what they want. Maybe that's why my memos attract so much attention. It's really the language of America.
Adolf Hitler.
No, that was close, though. Frank Luntz. That was a good guess
German
for
name.
Once.
It's psyops, what he's
Being
doing.
Being a
it's
blind sack of crap is the language of America?
Yeah. Well, it's deliberate. It's what we do in other countries to convince people to vote against their or work against their own interests, and it's working.
Oh, by the way, guess it's an entertaining edition of Republicans eating their own. Guess who hates each other? Frank Luntz and the Boner.
Really?
Oh, there's a mad fight I'd like
awesome.
To see.
Luntz acknowledged he and Boner have a long history that has not been pleasant.
That's great.
And the new majority leader is not a fan of myself or my work. Luntz wrote, "Boner has not always been an effective communicator." What, crying and screaming and throwing things is not an effective communicator?
I think the top of our list
is
providing for the safety and security of the American people. That's at the top of our list. What happened to the promise that we're going to let the American people see what's in this bill for 48 hours? But nope, we don't have time to do that. Hell no, you can't!
He is just the screaming toddler of Congress,
he is.
Isn't he?
Although, if the two of them got in a man fight,
I'd love to see that.
Luntz would win by a mile because Luntz has quite a few lbs on the Boner.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Boner fighting out of his weight class.
Yeah,
all right,
totally.
The president yesterday
saved the entire economy from an even worse catastrophe. We had to deploy taxpayer dollars. Now, much of that money has now been paid back. And my administration has proposed a fee to be paid by large financial firms to recover all the money, every dime, because the American people should never have been put in that position in the first place.
Yeah, he was talking to an audience stocked with some of the Wall Street's brightest luminaries, said he wants them to join him in a passing financial regulation. Yeah, I'm sure they'll get right on that.
Blank Fine was in the audience.
Yeah, I was. Oh, did you see that? Awkward! Sitting in the third row was the CEO of Goldman Sachs, whose firm obviously faces security fraud charges from the SEC, heightened the drama of the speech. Awkward!
Yep.
Also in the audience, Rolling Stone publisher,
Jan Vena.
Yeah. Whose magazine famously called Goldman Sachs a great vampire squid wrapped around the face of humanity.
I think it was Matt Taibbi who coined that.
Matt Taibbi's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awkward, awkward. All right. So they were all right in the same room while the president.
While
the president's.
I'm here today specifically when I speak to the titans of industry here, because I want to urge you to join us instead of fighting us in this effort.
Yeah.
I am here. I'm here because I believe that these reforms are, in the end, not only in the best interest of our country, but in the best interest of the financial sector.
By the way, he said, I believe in the power of the free market, but a free market was never meant to be a free license to take whatever you can get, however you can get it. That's what happened too often in the years leading up to the crisis.
Right.
This right-wing asshat that I frequently argue with now on MSNBC, Mike Slater, that's his name.
Mm.
That's what they literally blurt out the same talking points, Jim, every time. It's free market, 70. What we need is a free market. We need. I'm like, how we got here now?
Problem.
We need less regulation, really?
Right. You know, back in the 30s, the banks fought tooth and nail against establishing the FDIC.
Right.
Now, today, we can't imagine having a banking industry without it.
Yeah.
Oops, we lost
that
all your money.
Writes me That guy writes me, though, every time I go on MSNBC with him. I think he wants to date me. I think he wants to kiss me.
Well,
he tells me that his mother always says I do a better job on the show. And I said, well, my mother hates me, so we should get married because his mother would love me and my mother would love him. So, All right. The president.
They weren't fully aware of the massive bets that were being placed. That's what led Warren Buffett to describe derivatives that were bought and sold with little oversight as financial weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah, I think I can speak for all of us when I say, what the hell are derivatives again?
You know, he explained it yesterday during that speech, and I still don't get
it. It's a complex financial instrument of some
sort. It's a weapon of financial mass destruction.
We should have asked Christian Weller that. I got asked to go on MSNBC to talk about financial reform yesterday, may I just speak for many pundits when I say we mostly are pulling it out of our ass. I was faking my way through a lot of that.
A lot of these things are intentionally opaque, so you can't figure out what they are
until they've
stolen all your money.
All right, 29 minutes after the hour. I don't think we can often say this, but literally back by popular demand.
Yes.
Our next guest, Aisha Tyler. Who is awesome funny the last time on the show, and by popular demand, she is back.
If only you could see her on the radio. She's
and Jim, by popular squeezy
gorgeous.
Demand, because she's hot. Okay. 29. Jim doesn't care if you can see her. He has a whole theater of the squeezy mind going on over there. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Look at this guest list. Harvey Weinstein, Glenn Beck,
Stephanie Miller,
Ashley Olsen.
These are the people that make New York great.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
I gotta watch 30 Rock more often.
34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Don't forget Mama on the Ed Show tonight on MSNBC at, what time is that? 6 o'clock?
Yes.
Eastern time. All right. We have literally, like I said, by popular demand. I don't think we've ever said that before. The listeners demanded it, and here she is again, Aisha Tyler, a comedian extraordinaire, actress extraordinaire. Good morning, Aisha. I hit the wrong thing.
Stephanie.
This stupid thing doesn't work right. Good morning, Aisha.
Good morning. I was just talking for like 30 seconds. I was like, oh, that's so nice. Thank you. My award. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on. I apologize if I start to at any point babble into gibberish. I've had like 9 hours of sleep in the last 5 days. I'm just like,
oh, my God.
I'm a total zombie. So
wait.
Yes.
You're probably because you're busy and have a life. For me, I just have insomnia.
It's a combination of both. I mean, this week my excuse is that I was working. Usually it's that, you know, there's so many episodes of Law and Order to watch, and someone's got to do it all. So,
Yeah, I've watched the oddest collection of old movies. I watched Silver Streak this week during the middle of the night.
Oh,
remember
God.
When? Yeah, I remember Gene Wilder, and
I remember it vividly. Yes,
yes.
That was, you know, that was back. That was the old kind of like you couldn't have a black guy in a movie unless it was a white guy thing.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Just to let balance out. Right.
Yes, and it was funny when Gene Wilder put shoe polish on his face and tried to dance.
Yes. So comical back then. Tee hee hee. Right now we'd all be like marching. Well, we wouldn't be marching. We'd be tweeting angrily. I mean, why get out and put clothes on?
Yeah, that's back when it was a little different politically incorrect time. It was like, ha ha! Look, he's acting like a black guy.
Oh, the brownies, they're so comical.
Hi, Schatzes.
God. So, you were working, as you say, I think you mean on the new show Archer on FX, in which you play sexy super spy agent Lana Kane.
I was. That was one of the many things I did this week. We just did our first episode this week. Is insane as ever. And really, I mean, I know you probably feel this way about your show and probably have felt this way in the past about things you've done that you love your work. And then there are just occasions when you feel like, maybe like in a past life, you saved a baby from like a burning building. And that's,
right.
That's why you got this job. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I just love that job.
But that
so
baby
much.
Was Adolf Hitler.
No.
No.
But no, it's not only, well, it's an animated series, but it also debuted higher than any other show in FX history. So
yeah.
It's not just
wow.
Because sometimes we have those shows that are fun to do, but they suck. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Totally. Yeah, you're like, yeah, because you're toiling away in silence. You're like, five people are going to watch this with a tin can strung together with string. Yeah.
Oh, no. Trust me, I've specialized in those shows. I had a ball, but there were four people watching. Yeah.
Hey, man, art is art. It doesn't matter if it's only your mom and your high school friends that see it.
Yeah,
but Archer is
hysterical.
Thank you.
I love that show.
And that's what I'm saying. You know how rare that is in show business, where you're really having fun, and yet it's something that's really, really good, and people are watching
and
it.
And you're proud to make it, like you're proud of it. And it's one of those things where so much of the work, like you said, first of all, so much of the work that you do in this business is, you know, it's funny. People think people in entertainment just kind of sit around picking and choosing plum properties. Like, well, I was going to take that last role that Charlize Theron did, but I thought I'll leave it to her. You know, she needs to work. No, it's like we have to work. So on the occasion where you take a job and you love it and you're proud of it and it's creatively fulfilling and people and you get to curse. Honestly, it's really just because I get to drop like S bombs every week. That's the joy for me. That's all it is.
You know, I remember one of those jobs because you're right. Every once in a while, you just get a gift, and here's mine. This is the weirdest story ever. I hadn't worked for I don't know like a year. I was about to lose my house, and they called and asked me if I could interview Cindy Crawford for a Revlon commercial. And I was like, am I in the commercial? They were like, no. I'm like, is my voice in the commercial? They were like, no. You're sort of like Cindy's comedy chimp for the day. You're just going to ask her stuff so that she sounds like she's talking to someone. And
oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was it. And that was the job. And
That's wild.
They paid me a boatload of money. Herb Ritz was directing the commercial, and they brought me in at the end of the day. They're like, okay, comedy chimp, come make Cindy laugh on camera.
That is fantastic.
Yes.
And all was right with the world right after that, right?
Exactly.
That was when you're like, bam.
That was where I said I must have saved a baby from a burning building.
That's the thing. Because I'm not a particularly kind of like, you know, heavily, I'm not one of those people who believes in portent, you know, I think it's very convenient to say, oh, you know, there's a plan, but sometimes the plan's kind of sucking, you know what I mean? So, every once in a while, you know, like, right, like, I've had that thing, you know, like when we were living off credit cards and like, you know, I would go to the bank and I would take a cash advance out on the credit card and then I would like go out and then just go back in and use it to pay the bills, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God, living on ramen. And so just every once in a while, a job just falls out of the sky. You just think,
I hear you. So, Aisha, last time we talked about, you know, the fact that you're somewhat political, but sometimes don't you find that comedy and politics just intersect? Like, did you hear about this Republican woman? And you can never tell if they're a Saturday Night Live character or they're real, right? But she's running against Harry Reid, and she literally said that you should try to barter with your doctor, like offer him a chicken for health care, like they used to in the olden days.
What? I did not read about that because I don't read my news off of chip tablets, which is where that seems like it would have been written.
Right.
That is crazy. Oh, my God. Wow. You know, here's the thing. I really believe – I mean, politics and comedy do often intersect. And politics is comedy. This is where the tired thing comes in where, like, I can't actually make sentences. But but what I've been finding lately is that people are inadvertently funny. Like, you know, I was on LKL the other day. I was on Larry King Live with Ann Coulter.
That's
and,
right.
You know, I got a lot. And you know, and I wanted to kind of go in and be gracious and kind of, you know, make my point. I think you get this opportunity to kind of, you know, be the counterpoint to somebody like that. And you really want to, you know, go in there, do your research and be well informed. And,
sure.
And I went in and I said, I was sick of people calling the president a fascist. I was like, you could disagree with this guy's policies. You could disagree with, you know, his approach to, you know, leading the country. But first of all, stop name-calling and stop using inaccurate monikers, because fascism, philosophically, is a right-wing philosophy. Yes, there were some things that they did. They did nationalize some industries, but they hated gays. The first people to die under the Nazi regime were leftists and liberal activists. He hated Marxists. He hated communists. He forced people to get married. He was this kind of, like, crazy, like, you know, focused on the family. Like, he was like the first member of Focus on the Family. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And the number of nutballs that have come out of the internet to, like, jump on my Facebook page and post literally gibberish. Literally.
Yep.
This woman posted on my page the other day that the liberals have taken over the learning universities. And I was like, versus the sex universities? What are you talking about? What? And her posts are so funny. Like, she just blew my page up. She couldn't, you know. Apparently.
Yeah. Aren't they delightful?
Typos and malaprops just run like a fountain through this woman. She's like a cornucopia. Like, you know, first the chicken came out that you could use to bargain with your doctor, and then, you know, the malaprops. And I don't want to block her because her posts are so funny and stupid that I feel like other people should read them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, enjoy. I read them. I read my hate mail on the air as comedy because they're hilarious. Between
oh, God.
The misspellings and the angriest ones, we always joke about. They can never get out of the subject line. Like, they're not. They would say a lot worse if they could get out. They don't know how to get in the big box.
They just rant away in that tiny little space until they're frustrated and have to go home.
Yes, exactly.
It's strangely enjoyable because, look, I went to a very conservative college. I have a lot of conservative friends. I think you could have a civil discussion with someone about how you disagree about the leadership of the country. But the crazy jibber jabber is just
well. It's hard to, I don't know if you've been watching some of these teabagger rallies, it's hard to claim that you're not a stupid racist when you have a sign with the N-word misspelled.
Exactly.
What do you have against the country of Niger?
I mean, don't you love them denying that there's any racism in the teabagger crowd? It's like, come on.
And I also think, like, it's okay to admit that there are some people on your side that are wrong. That doesn't make you wrong. It's a sign of weakness not to, you know, not to be able to, like, yes, I think there are people that are progressive and they're liberals who are out of their minds. Fine. You know what I mean? They're people who don't think about politics at all, who, you know, get up in the morning and eat dirt. There are dumb people out there. It's okay to admit that. And,
it's okay to admit you're a dirt eater. It's fine.
That you're a dirt eater, yes. You know, or that you touch yourself while watching.
And you eat paint chips for dessert.
Paint chips
it's okay.
For dessert. Yeah, or finger paints. That was what I said. I said, you know, if you're going to use a typewriter, you might want to, you know, study the dictionary. Or even, the great thing is, if you know how to use the internet, you probably do know how to use it, dictionary.com. So just, you know, open both windows at the same time. If you have the new windows, you can snap them together.
There you go.
And then, industries. Industries, TRYS.
Yeah, I wasn't aware that people could misspell the C word, which I get called
exactly.
Quite
There's
often.
There's only four letters in there.
Exactly. Yeah, hello.
Apparently, I need to learn how to count.
Aisha, what, were you in studio with Ann Coulter?
I was. We sat right next to each other.
Oh, dear God. And how was that? Delightful?
I want to tell you something. She was confusingly gracious.
Yes.
It was like meeting the devil on the way to Memphis. And
wow. When was that? I got to go back and watch that. Was it last
it's
week?
It's online. Yeah, it was recently. It was like a week ago. She, you know, she listened to what I said. She didn't agree with me, but she was surprisingly gracious and nice, which was mad. You know, it made me mad because I went in there like, come on, let's go ahead. You know what I mean?
No,
like,
I used to, you know,
I
used to.
Bottle on the bar. Let's, I'm going to cut you, you know.
Take a bottle off and go.
Yeah,
no, you know, I've. I've said this, that I used to go out to dinner with her when I hosted Equal Time on CNBC many years ago. And she used to come to town and, you know, call a bunch of people. We all go out to dinner. I'm like, she doesn't believe the crap she says. I'm telling you, she just decided at some point, oh, I've got to get a lot crazier to get to sell books and get on television.
I went to college with some people like this. I went to the most conservative college in the Ivy League. It was Dartmouth. And the late 90s was during the whole divestment thing, you know, where students were trying to get their colleges to divest from out South Africa. And the liberal, you know, the progressive students, not just liberal, I mean, a lot of people were against South Africa. It wasn't just liberals, you know, had right. built this shantytown on the middle of, you know, the green, into the campus green to kind of protest that the college still had money invested in South Africa. And these conservatives, like, went and smashed it with, like, sledgehammers. I mean, it was really, like, this incredibly divisive time there politically. Yeah. And then you would meet some of these people who you just, in your head, you had turned into these monsters. And they were, like, lovely, reasonable people. And I think that there are people who just enjoy the political theater of being a jackhole. You know what I mean? It's like, moderation isn't interesting. Moderation doesn't get you sound bites. You know, you've got to say the craziest thing
That's
in the world.
True.
Being
right.
dismissive and you know,
well, it's like this woman
is just sexier.
Right, this woman that suggested the chicken, then you're thinking, oh, she misspoke, or she did, but then she did double down on it. But I think the other thing people were saying that was sort of chilling is she kept talking about how great it was in the olden days.
Yeah.
Which always seems code to me for, you remember, when, you know, when we could still own black people. And
yes, exactly.
Chicks couldn't vote. And
I have a family friend who's like that. He's, you know, he's older and kind of emotionally, I think, a little unstable. But we were dancing together at like a family member's wedding, and he said to me, it was like an old song. He goes, well, I don't care what anyone says. I think the 50s are the best time in this country. And I looked him right in his face, and I was like, for some people. And then it was a very uncomfortable, you know, 4 minutes of the jitterbug.
Aisha Tyler stars in the new animated series Archer on FX and is just all around delightful and hilarious and super hot. Aisha, we will see you again by popular demand because our listeners...
mention one quick thing that I need to talk about today, which is that I am a part of a new program called the Dream Machine Initiative. Mm. We launched it yesterday on Earth Day. It's a coalition, PepsiCo, Waste Management, Keep America Beautiful, and the Entrepreneurship Boot Camp for Veterans are going to be putting 3,000 recycling machines in cities all over the country. They're free to use. You can get a card. When you recycle, you earn points and you can earn rewards and prizes and all kinds of things. And but the main amazing thing is that all of the money raised, PepsiCo is going to be donating money based on every receptacle recycled to the Entrepreneurship Boot Camp for Veterans, which gives money to help retrain post 9/11 veterans who have been injured in conflict. This is going to be all over the country. They want to raise recycling rates. Right now it's about 34%. It's been hovering there for years. They want to get it up to 50% nationwide. And it's really to get those people who would recycle if they had access, but, you know, I can't find a recycling receptacle. We're like the only Western country in the whole freaking planet that doesn't actually have, like, you know, recycling containers on corners. So you can find out more about it at facebook.com/dreammachine. I'm going to be directing a film next week that kind of promotes the program. But the main cool thing is that we want people to think about recycling, get motivated, and the great incentive is that it's going to help people who come back from overseas and can't work and need to be retrained to get new jobs. So
good for you. And Aisha Tyler is Aisha's website if you want to hear more about that. Yeah. And all things Aisha, you are smart and beautiful and hilarious and politically conscious, and if you ever come in studio, I will hire protection against Jim Ward because it's a little much for him. It's a little much. He knows no boundaries.
I will bring cookies.
All right. Aisha Tyler, thank you so much, Aisha.
It was
a pleasure as
thank
always.
Thank you, guys. Thank you
All
so
right.
much. Bye.
There she goes.
If only she weren't such a slacker.
Yeah.
I mean, she's, good God.
If only
sit
there was
around
something
the couch
good
eating
about
Cheetos,
her.
Apparently.
It's like that last part. Oh, politically conscious, too. Come on.
No. Come on. Don't you have a flaw?
God. Why can't you get you have to be. I hope she's a serial killer or something. All right, 48 minutes.
No box of Captain Crunch is safe around her.
That's right.
48 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Remember, you heard it on this channel first.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, baby, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Charlie Pierce coming up just at the top of the hour. He's normally our Tuesday buddy.
Yes.
But he stiffed us. So
that's wicked retarded.
Yeah. And then Representative Maxine Waters as well. Oh, hey, here's some breaking news on one of our favorites, Senator David Hooker Bitter.
Oh, yes.
An ethics watchdog group filed a federal complaint accusing Republican Senator David Bitter of accepting illegal campaign contributions from a California dry cleaning company that wanted stimulus money.
Huh.
Mm. I guess he sometimes goes to the dry cleaner, but he told one of his hookers that if it was a small load, she could do it by hand, I guess.
Ah.
I wonder what he could have been dry cleaning, Jim. Diapers, maybe?
Yes.
You don't dry clean diapers.
Don't ask. Don't ask about the stains.
No, you don't want to know.
You don't want to know.
All right. And there's a stimulus package joke in there. Listen, it's Friday. I'm too tired. You somebody else write them. All right. Let's go to Jan in Washington State. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Mama Miller.
Hello.
Hello.
Go ahead.
All right. On the fabulous Alan Grayson, this is my contribution.
Okay.
True Grit Grayson.
True Grit Grayson. No.
Confusing.
But thank you. Oh, Jim, I don't know what your vote is. These are the finalists for our weekly Alan Grayson segment, which will be on Thursdays. State of Grayson.
That's pretty good. I like that.
Amazing Grayson.
That's good.
Face the Grayson or Allentown.
Allentown.
That can
play the Billy Joel song.
Yeah, that even comes with its own snappy theme song.
Right.
Exactly. It's Alan Grayson's world. The rest of us just living in it. All right. Let's go to...
I was just listening to that on the satellite radio yesterday.
Bill in Madison. Hey, Bill.
Hey, guys. Steph, Washington can be a pretty confusing town. You know, what's in that 1,000-page health care bill? What's in that 1,000-page financial reform bill? I don't know. Let's ask Alan.
Oh.
Well,
there's
Tom
a song
Brock,
for that.
Say,
go ask Alice.
Let's ask
change
Alan.
Let's change it to
go
Alan.
Ask Alan when he's 10 feet tall.
Oh, good. And there's a train horn for the beginning of the segment, too.
there's that song.
All right.
Actually, that was a factory.
Mm-hmm. Tom in Chicago on the offering chickens for your health care. Tom, you were wondering if they'll take beaver?
Yeah, Steph. I thought I'd try it out. My lumbago was acting up.
Yes.
I found a doctor that would indeed barter. I brought along some good-looking beaver and my paintbrush.
Uh-huh.
And I said, which doctor accepts barter? And he said, which doctor? Me. Then he said, ooh-ee-ooh-ah-ah,
ting-tang, walla-walla-bang-bang.
Ooh-ee-ooh-ah-ah,
ting-tang, walla-walla-bang-bang.
Okay, I don't really have any idea what you guys are talking about.
You've never heard that song?
No,
never heard the song
no.
The Witch Doctor?
You're old enough to have heard that song.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Oh, my God.
Even Chris,
you really
I've heard about women offering beaver for their health care, but I have not heard that song.
You have not?
You've never heard?
And you've worked in radio for 80 years?
8 years. Screw you, Luke. All right. Hillary Clinton says in a new profile that the constant travel and demands of being Secretary of State are beginning to take a toll. It wears you out, she said. The jet lag, the dry air on planes, the whole if it's Tuesday, I must be in kind of thing. You know, I've noticed she does not have the same hair and makeup that she had during the campaign. She's doing a spectacular job, but looking a little frazzled.
Well, maybe all the jet setting
time. I understand. I look like crap since I moved to New York. It's, you know... You're frazzled.
So you blend.
Yeah, you blend. Wait a minute. You get up 3 hours later. How can you look frazzled?
Somehow I manage. Because New York frazzles me. Hello, Flo in Florida.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, go ahead.
I was watching The Curl, because that's where the real news is, and they said SEC, Securities and Exchange staffers, were watching porn.
Yep,
I was just reading that.
As the economy crashed.
Yes.
They were supposed to be watching the guys on Wall Street, and they were watching porn.
The Wall Street stuff is much dirtier, though. So
yeah.
Yeah, that would be much funnier if they hadn't taken us all down with them. That would, All right, the president yesterday on Wall Street.
Unless your business model depends on bilking people, there's little to fear from these new rules.
Talking to you, Blank Fine.
Yeah, I was just saying, I saw Blank Fine gulp.
Zoinks.
He needed one of Bitter's diapers at that point.
58 minutes after the hour. Back with Charlie Pierce, Celebrity Stack, and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, baby, happy Friday. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere to join the party. StephanieMiller.com, check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, associate producer Rebecca Taylor, or me, Stephanie Miller. Don't forget Mama on the Ed Show tonight on MSNBC.
Yep.
At 6 p.m. Eastern. You know, this week is all cattywampus.
I'll say.
It's Friday, and yeah, we were supposed to talk to Charlie Pierce on Tuesday. There's only one man now that understands, and that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, the funniest writer in the world, from the Boston Globe.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Good morning, Charlie Pierce. Do you have a note from your mommy?
I was dead, but I'm feeling much better now.
All right, thank you.
Oh, I hear you guys had a nice event in New York.
Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show. Yes,
yeah,
starring Hal Sparks and John Fugelsang.
Unfortunately, again, my invitation blew off the porch.
Oh, no.
next time.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that.
Well, no, they're going on the road, so they may come through Boston, actually.
Yes.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Just say it. Say, please come to Boston. For the springtime. Thank you. All right. Charlie Pierce.
Oh, who finally committed the mercy killing on Dave Loggins, by the way? I'd like to congratulate him, whoever it is.
On who?
Dave Loggins. The guy who was in the springtime. Anyway.
Speaking of politics and comedy, by the by, Sue Loden, could you make her up, this Republican running against Harry Reid that suggested using a chicken to pay for your health care?
First of all, and you'll permit me a shameless plug, the paperback edition of Idiot America with special new idiocy will be appearing in 2 weeks.
Hooray.
And I would like to thank my fellow citizens, especially the conservative ones, for being with the marketing plan.
Yes.
We have worked
wow.
this out splendidly. I mean, just in the last week.
It really is. It's like Charlie Pierce put you up to this, didn't he?
We had the crazy anti-abortion law in Nebraska. We had, and this got buried, by the way, but the Georgia passing the law preventing them from installing microchips in indelicate areas of your body, which got through committee, and they actually took testimony on it, including testimony from a woman who had hers implanted in what she called the vaginal rectal area, which I think they passed the bill just so they wouldn't have to talk about it anymore. And then, of course, we have the chicken lady. And who could surpass the chicken lady?
Yeah.
I mean, and personally, I don't think a poultry-based currency in this country is going to work. Because, you know, I don't care how hard you try, you can't put a chicken in an ATM. It won't fit in the little slots. And speaking of fitting in little slots, how about that David Bitter?
Hey, ladies and Slavin.
But, you know, I'm this whole thing, I'm really screwed. Because, I mean, how do I pay my doctor? Do I go to my doctor and say, you know, if you take the skin cancer off my face, I'll write you 3,000 words on Dustin Pedroia? I don't have a barterable skill. I've got to learn to paint houses. And now,
yeah.
I don't know if you saw it yesterday, we got in Tennessee, we got this guy who says that I'm Mike. Back where out where I come from, this is a state rep or a state senator. You know, we have people who pay their doctor's bills with baskets of vegetables. Who's going to be the chairman of the Fed, Chef Boyardee?
So, yeah, speaking of...
The marketing plan for the paperback of Idiot America is cruising right along.
Yes, and thanks in no small part to crazy Minnesota Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, from your neck of the woods.
Director, are you kidding?
Yes.
Bachmann claims Romney doesn't believe Romney Care was a good thing for Massachusetts.
Well, actually, in that, she may be right. If you wait 15 minutes, Mitt Flav will say that.
Yes.
She may not be far off the beam with that.
Or as far
off the beam as she usually is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was saying that these Republican women, you really don't know if you're watching a Saturday Night Live sketch or they're for real.
The truly frightening thing is that the woman in Nevada, she could still win.
I know. Well, she's ahead, right?
I mean, she was. I don't know if this is the macaca moment for her or not.
Right.
Because this is national ridicule. And as you, I think you pointed out to your previous guest, you know, they're throwing her life raft and she's swimming away.
Yeah.
Well, and it's interesting. So, Marco.
Rubio.
Thank you. He appears to, you know, even despite these, you know, the criminal investigation into his, you know, the you know, obviously his spending, He still appears to be ahead, way ahead of Charlie Crist, right?
Well, Charlie Crist seems to have given up at this point. Plus, let's not forget that Mr. Rubio did get the vital Dick Cheney endorsement this week.
I was just going to say, Satan has checked in the Florida race. Dick Cheney throwing his support to Marco Rubio.
But, I mean, I got to get me one of them Republican credit cards. Because I'll tell you, the limit on those is the sky, isn't it? I mean, between the strip bars and whatever. What is Marco Rubio spending this
back waxing.
By the way?
Yeah, I as a hirsute child myself, hirsute. I could have used one of those credit cards as a Republican child with a unibrow. But anyway,
my understanding is you could have used the Army Corps of Engineers, but that's not the end of it.
Bastage.
I'm never going to get invited to anything now.
Bastage. Now. Charlie Pierce, it does seem like a lot of Republicans eating their own these days. So Newt Gingrich says tea parties are likely to end up as the militant wing of the Republican Party. So
that makes me feel good. As an Irish American, I remember when the IRA was called the militant wing of Sinn Féin.
Yes.
So militant wing doesn't have a real good history in this sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But what does Newt know about militant anything?
Right.
Yeah.
Except he wasn't particularly militant about his marriage vows.
And, this could be the last straw finally for Michael Steele. Did you see this? He said African-Americans don't have a reason to vote Republican.
Oh, God. the occasional outburst of truth, just, they're remarkable to see. And the great thing about it, we poke fun at Mr. Steele because, occasionally he says really stupid stuff.
Right.
I really kind of feel for the guy because I think what he said about that, he really means.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, at bottom, he really does want to try to patch over all the problems that have existed between the Republicans and African Americans since the Goldwater campaign in '64. I think, and I think he's right in trying to do that. Unfortunately,
right.
He's in a party full of crazy people, and I know that may make Reverend Wallace pray for my soul. But as a good Christian, I shouldn't call names. But as a good journalist, I have to point out that a lot of these people are morons.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I mean, I say this with all Christian love and charity. These are people who shouldn't be allowed to cut their own meat or count their own money.
Yeah, he always says the one too many things that are true, right? It's like,
well, I mean,
African Americans don't have a reason. They could barely get a token like me to. Oh, I'm sorry. Was I not supposed to say that part?
He's absolutely right. I mean, there's no question about that. You know how you know he's absolutely right? Because every other Republican is saying he's wrong.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Charlie, financial reform. The president came to New York yesterday in a very awkward encounter. The head of Goldman Sachs was there. And,
somebody just sit behind him and rattle a pair of handcuffs. You have to put them on. Just hire somebody for like $150 to go. Or start reading the Miranda warning under their breath.
Yeah. Or just singing Chain Gang, just very, very lightly.
That's right. Start chanting Attica under your breath.
But, I mean, it looks like we are going to get financial reform done, despite the Mitch McKinlesses of the world.
Well, he appears to have been folding now.
Yes.
He realized this isn't going to be, I think he looked out over the incredible vista of smiling, angry seniors at the Tea Party and said, geez, these people hate banks a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I should do something about that.
Yeah, and suddenly, did you hear this yesterday? He's always been for bipartisanship.
Of course he is.
But I don't think bipartisanship is a waste of time. I don't think a bill with the legitimacy of a bipartisan agreement is a waste of time.
Yeah, he's always been extraordinarily bipartisan.
Absolutely. I mean, there was his part of the Republican Party and the other part of the Republican Party, and there's two parties.
Yeah.
And Mitch wasn't invited to any of them when he was a little boy, and that was a problem.
Well, I feel like they, unfortunately, Republicans did do a good job confusing people on health care. There's this new Kaiser poll out. Did you see this? A majority of Americans are confused about how the new health care law will impact them. People are struggling to understand how the law will affect them and their families and to separate that from political spin, said the polling director. So right now, 46% view it favorably, 40% don't, another 14% undecided. But, the poll also shows what the president said consistently is a clear majority of Americans support many specific provisions.
I think the only way to clear up that first poll is to have the thing start working.
Well, exactly. Listen to this.
Kind of become part of people's lives. I guarantee you, in 1966, not everybody knew how Medicare worked.
Well, exactly.
The
poll showed a clear majority of Americans support, for instance, 86% in favor of the tax breaks for small businesses that offer coverage, 81% in favor of stopping insurance companies from dropping someone who has a pre-existing condition, and the one, the children staying on their parents' health plan until 26, was supported by 74% surveyed. So I think that I mean, we could be in better shapes, in shape conceivably in the midterms than we think, right? Like you say, as the truth of it becomes true and not the spin.
I think they could probably hold it down to the average kind of losses you get in an off-year midterm, because everyone, almost universally through history, the party in the White House loses some seats in the midterm. And they've got a lot of dodgy seats to defend, and frankly, on some of the people, I'm not too enthusiastic about defending it.
Yeah, well,
you know,
exactly.
I mean, there are some people I wouldn't mind seeing, you know, retired.
Now,
that having been said, I think that once people start using it, it's very funny. I did an interview for a Sports Illustrated piece on Steve Nash, the point guard of the Phoenix Suns,
right,
who grew up in Canada, and of course grew up in the Canadian system. And it was the day after the final vote on the health care, and we were sitting down to lunch and we were talking about it. And he's very progressive politically and stuff. And he said, "Can you do me a favor?" And I said, "What?" He said, "I grew up under the Canadian system. Can you explain the new American system to me? And then can you explain the old American system to me?" And I said, "I'm serious." He said, "You know, you go in, you sign your name, you get your drugs, you leave. That's Canada."
Yeah.
Wow. And
yeah,
somehow
exactly.
Survived.
Now, they're going to take up, it looks like, immigration reform, which that shouldn't be at all emotional or controversial.
That sounds like fun, doesn't it?
Yes. Well, I mean, look at Arizona and this Zeke Hyland. Please show us your papers, law. I mean, it really, this debate has gotten, you know, you have John McCain, you know, whose name was on the comprehensive immigration reform.
And we just got word that the governor of Arizona is going to be signing it into law.
Of course he is. She dare do otherwise.
Yeah, but it's official now.
They've got a birther bill coming down the pike there, too.
Yep.
Yes.
You know, we left them out, by the way, but you know, when we were sitting down planning out the marketing campaign for the paperback version of Media America, soon to appear in bookstores in 2 weeks, we said, what state can we count on to help us out? And
Arizona.
We got together with the people in Arizona, and they were really nice. I mean, they were, we'll do anything. We'll elect J.D. Hayworth, the dimmest bulb in the chandelier, to be the senator, replace John McCain. We'll do that for you.
Yes, exactly. We would like to be mentioned in the acknowledgments in Idiot America.
Oh,
Charlie
gee,
Pierce.
Oh, gee, I wrote that. You know, I wrote a note to myself on my invitation to the event in New York.
Oh!
It's off the porch. I forgot to do it.
That's a callback.
Charlie Pierce, we will see you on Tuesday.
We will see you on Tuesday. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye, honey. There he goes. Charlie Pierce. 19 minutes after the hour, back with Representative Maxine Waters on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you having a party or something?
Non-stop.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour, we are joined by our very favorite homegirl, Representative Maxine Waters from the great state of California. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning. How are you doing, Stephanie?
I'm missing you. You know, I moved to New York, and I don't have nearly as awesome a congressperson now.
Oh, my goodness. Well, let's talk as often as we can.
Yes.
All right. So you are fighting the good fight as usual on, you know, people suffering foreclosures, the homeowners out there that are really hurting. Tell us what you're working on.
Well, I'm working on any number of things. Right now, we're all focused on the regulatory reconstruction bill, the bill that is supposed to rein in all of these banks and financial institutions, basically responsible for the meltdown and all the predatory lending. In that, we have the Consumer Protection Financial Agency that was constructed so that we could get a handle on all of these loan products and all of these ways that these institutions basically rip off the public and prevent that from happening. A lot of changes have taken place on the Senate side. We wanted a freestanding agency. Senator Dodd and others have insisted that it goes within the feds. Many people are opposed to that because it's the feds who let us down and who did not do anything when this meltdown was taking place and all of these people were being disadvantaged. So we still have a problem with foreclosures, and the loan modifications are not working in the way that it was anticipated they would work. This administration came up with the HAMP program, and they thought that they said that we would be able to modify 3 to 4 million loans, and homeowners, you know, would save their homes. Now they've come up with a second program. They have the HAMP. The HAMP program was the first one, and that was supposed to help to modify these loans by putting people in a trial period for 3 months and then transitioning them out to lowering the interest rates and doing some other things to be on top of these adjustable rate mortgages. It just has not worked. As a matter of fact, Elizabeth Warren, who's doing a great job, who serves on the chair as the Congressional Oversight Panel, estimates that only 276,000 individuals will end up avoiding foreclosures under the Obama plan because individuals will fail to convert to permanent modifications and because of high re-default rates among the borrowers. So he's come up with a second plan, and the second plan has two parts to it, kind of designed to encourage the banks to write down the principal, and secondly, a program to deal with those people who have lost their jobs and have no income. So it's a worrisome situation, and people...
Well, Congresswoman, I was talking to an economist earlier on the show, and, you know, it's not just that it helps the people currently about to be foreclosed on, but, you know, he was talking about how all these flood of foreclosures is going to, you know, further affect the housing market and those of us that are still own homes, you know, that are going to be affected as well. So it's like a domino effect if we don't do something about it.
Well, in a lot of ways, it affects the present homeowners. First of all, to have these homes foreclosed on, many of them boarded up in neighborhoods, brings down the price of the other homes in the neighborhood, and it creates all kind of hazards because the banks are not keeping them up. The stray dogs are coming in. The roofs are falling in. We have a neighborhood stabilization program that's supposed to help with that, but that's not being implemented the way we would like it to in the city. So we have a structural problem here somehow with, of course, the financial institutions who have created this problem and the regulatory bill that we're anticipating, hopefully, is going to do better than the loan modification programs we've come up with. But until now, we really don't have a handle on this, Stephanie.
Yeah, when you mentioned the stray dogs, it reminds me that at least Mitt Romney will finally get an answer to the question, who let the dogs out? And it would be the people that allowed this housing crisis to happen. Now, what obviously, we've been hearing today that immigration reform, Nancy Pelosi has said what has been discussed privately, the House will take up an immigration bill only if the Senate passes one first. Boy, when you look at this law in Arizona about asking people for their papers, I mean, this is going to be another really emotional, contentious debate, isn't it?
It really is, and this law in Arizona is going to force this Congress to have to look at comprehensive immigration reform because this law is going to end up being taken up by other states. I understand some other states are looking at these kinds of laws, which certainly are laws that, you know, embrace profiling and violation of people's, you know, just basic civil rights. And so I know that it's an election year, and the administration has been, you know, kind of dragging its feet, and, you know, people are wondering what to do. A lot of heat is being put on, led by Gutierrez out of Illinois, who's saying, Mr. President, you promised, you got to do it. And Nancy Pelosi is saying she wants to do it. She's tired of taking up bills that the Senate won't move on. So it's a mess.
Good for her. Yeah, I know. I know, and we need to get it done. Representative Maxine Waters, once again, if only we had a house full of Maxine Waters, we'd be A-okay.
Oh, you're too kind. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Congresswoman. See you
welcome.
Next time.
All right.
There she goes.
Goodbye now.
Be very fierce, Representative Maxine
Love
Waters.
Love her.
All right. Hey, yeah, by the way, we'll talk about immigration reform when we get back and Celebrity Stack on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It's titillating yet anxiety producing.
That's certainly true. Yes.
Ha!
Hey,
it is the
Stephanie Miller Show.
The writers at the Colbert Report have been watching the show.
Yeah.
Last Why?
Night,
what
during,
happened?
During The Word, they had a thing on same-sex marriage, and O'Reilly saying, well, then you have to have plural marriage. You can marry a turtle if you want. Cut to Colbert. Too bad all the best ones are taken. And there's a picture of Mitch McConnell.
Oh,
yeah. Jacques. Jacques Colbert.
I believe we were the first to postulate that Mitch McConnell was a turtle. I believe
yes,
we were.
We've encouraged people to feed him lettuce and yes. to tip him over on his back right. on the Senate floor. Okay, Linda in Reno, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Stephanie. Making me laugh all the time.
Thank you.
I have a funny thing that came out on the news yesterday. In front of Sue Loudon's, what do you call it? Where the people go to talk to her and stuff.
Town hall something, yes.
anyway, it was on the news, and there was people outside her campaign office.
Right, right.
And they had signs, hens for health care and stuff, and there was a guy dressed in a chicken suit, and they were playing the chicken dance, and it was on the news.
And someone else stole that from our show. We played the chicken dance. All right. Thank you. Yeah, it's a... It. Thank you. Deborah in Denver, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Deb.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
I have a suggestion for the Grayson segment.
Yes.
How about calling it the Gut Check?
Gut Check with Grayson. Like it. Someone's mentioned that yesterday. Mm-hmm. Thank you. All right. I think we're still down to our four finalists. We'll have to figure it out by next week sometime. Tim in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning, baby.
Now, I'm going to try to explain a derivative to you.
Oh, come on.
Oh, boy.
No, it's going to be, I'm actually going to use Stephanie Miller International as an example.
Okay.
So, is what happens is, let's say I sell a stock of Stephanie Miller International to Rebecca.
Mm-hmm. And she wouldn't buy it.
Well, actually, she probably would. You're worth a lot. But I sell it to her one share for $12. Now, 3 months from now, that piece of paper is just a contract between me and her. But 3 months from now, let's say it's worth $18.
Mm-hmm.
So she would make a profit of $6.
Uh-huh.
Now, it all depends on the future performance of your stock.
Ah, so I see. Well, if the experience is any guide, it won't be good, my future stock. This will end in disaster, as all things do
and
in
my
life.
And if a train is leaving Chicago going 60 miles an hour.
He lost me somewhere.
Yeah.
All right. This is the kind of thing Rebecca is more likely to do to me. Did you see this story? This is a prankster. A Connecticut man is due in court on charges that he targeted his neighbor in an online advertisement that invited strangers to a rowdy orgy with a soccer mom.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Rebecca would do that to me. She would post on Facebook with her home address. And. every day is, or every week is Fleet Week at Stephanie's apartment, and here's the address. Okay. Police say Conrad and the neighbor had been feuding. They say he posted a Craigslist ad on April 5th pretending to be the neighbor. The ad said the woman wanted to fulfill her fantasy of group sex and listed her address, prompting several strangers to visit or drive by.
Oh, wow.
Rebecca would do that.
Mm-hmm.
If I ask her for printer ink one more time,
yeah.
I'm getting an orgy at my house, I can tell.
Yes.
All right. Vice President Biden was on The View yesterday, and don't I know it, because traffic sucked. I think he taped in the same building, or he was at 30 Rock yesterday, where I went for
NBC. He might have done something at NBC, too, but...
But you know what I did? I did the two-block run in high heels again to get on MSNBC on time, because the president was in town, too.
Right.
He was talking about when he called the health care thing a BFD.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The microphone picked it up. He insisted he knew there was a microphone near him, but he had no idea it was that sensitive. Oh, you have that?
Mm-hmm. I realized it was a microphone, but I had no idea it was that sensitive. I was as far away from the microphone as there to hear, and I was whispering in his ear.
Yeah.
And after it was over, we walked out, and we got in the limo to go over to another event, and he was laughing like the devil. I said, what's so funny? I don't see anything funny about this. And he said, well, he said, Katie, my secretary told me when you said that to me, everybody could hear it.
Has that been on the right-wing blogs yet? Biden admits that Obama is the devil. You see, we told you he's the Antichrist, and Biden said
it. Some microphones are so sensitive. Not the Sennheiser, though. They are very calculating and cold.
All right. Speaking of TV shows, do I have to do the Larry King stories? I'll never get on that show again. All right, let me just say I'm on Larry's side because reportedly their kid's baseball coach is
Little League coach
says he was sleeping with Larry's wife. He's what a dirtbag. He told the Inquirer we had sex in Larry's bed a lot. I felt like it was my house, explaining he fell in love with him when he started coaching the kids. She bought him a BMW. I'm on Larry's side against everybody. That's whose side I'm on. I don't.
I think I'd do it for a BMW.
Larry King?
Ooh.
You wouldn't have sex with me for a BMW.
Oh, God, no. No, I got to draw a line somewhere.
You still have those nightmares since many years ago. We started working together where I'm straddling you with the mud pack on my face and curlers.
Uh-huh.
And a cigarette hanging out of my mouth.
And a house dress.
Mia, you're fired.
Uh-huh.
Do it. Touch the naughty bits.
I was just a tot back then. I wasn't as world-weary as I am now.
Yes. That's when the sexual harassment began. Your job is just to shut up and wear something tight in here for mama. All right. Ozzy Osbourne, Jim, gave a homeless man his $4,500 gold necklace.
Yeah, a gold necklace, you know, you can't eat it, but, you know, you can sell it for a profit, you know. Like
only Ozzy, I think...
five for the rest of your life, man.
I think it's only because Ozzy's so befuddled. He says... He handed because apparently the guy asked Ozzy for some change. After searching his pockets, he realized he didn't have any, so he gave him his $4,500 gold crucifix and told him to pray for a better future.
Oh.
That's magic.
Or
I don't think there's much future between the time he gave it to him and the time he sold it for drugs.
Right.
Wow. Uh-oh, get my little nunchucks sound effect ready. Two more women have accused Steven Seagal of sexual assault, according to TMZ.
Boy.
Oh, dear. Both said they were hired as personal assistants but quit due to Seagal's behavior. One alleged that he fondled her breasts and told her he was just checking as a doctor would for lumps.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Oh, my.
Look, good one, Steven. Good one.
It says in the application, personal assistant. What part of personal don't you understand?
But I'm doing Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, that's...
Okay, how about this one? Seagal reached his hand down my pants. He said, I just want to touch it for a second to see what it felt like.
Oh.
What are you, eight, Steven Seagal?
Jeez. Oh, my God.
I think he'd have some...
What are you, 8 years old?
You'd think he'd have some moves by...
Show you my hoo-hoo if you show me yours. What do you mean I want to see what it looks like? What? I love that story. All right. Kate... Oh, dear. This is very upsetting. Kate Gosselin wants a piece of Jeff Goldblum or The Hoff, according to a...
Oh, huh?
Huh?
Not sure what website this is. Kate Gosselin recently admitted her cabbage patch hasn't been watered in 15 months. She's looking to jumpstart her... And she wants Jeff Goldblum or The Hoff to provide the cable. If Kate does...
She needs to set her sights a little bit higher.
Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Yeah.
The website goes on to say, if Kate dated the Hoff, he would most likely take her child army with him to the bar for booze and burgers. And Jeff Goldblum? Seriously, Kate Gosselin and Jeff Goldblum having sex would look like that scene in The Fly where he barfs on that dude's hand and it disintegrates down to the bone. Oh, boy. All right. Oh, dear. Must we do the Lindsay Lohan staff now? Lindsay Lohan currently involved in a lawsuit filed against her by three dudes who claim she held them hostage in her SUV during a dangerous car chase. I remember that one back in 2007. She was last week she was supposed to be deposed by the dude's lawyers, but it was canceled after she arrived late and told everyone she only had a few hours to kill. It was rescheduled, but she also didn't show up because she was supposed to be there at 10, told her lawyer she couldn't get a ride till 11. Are you allowed to do that in court? That's not good
for
me.
No, you're not.
D-listed writes, she should have done what I did when I was a tween in California. I really needed to get to the mall to buy a Crystal Waters cassette. I took the bus. You remember when you needed that La La D song? You had to take the bus to go get it.
Uh-huh.
All right. Oh, and then the second from Celeb Bitchy. Fame whore dad Michael Lohan showed up at Lindsay Lohan's Los Angeles apartment accompanied by the county sheriff. He was there to check on his younger daughter. Allie, who's 16, who's living with Lindsay, which seems like a good idea. Version of adult supervision.
Oh, my God.
So Dina Lohan wants Lindsay to get a restraining order against her father, and I think the whole family just needs to, you know.
All right.
Okay.
Take care now.
All right.
Bye-bye, then.
Oh, boy.
Loser. All right. At least there's no mystery to the question. How did she turn out like that? Mm. I think it's...
Some people should not be parents.
Yes. All right. And that's why I fulfill my duty by being a childless loser.
Mm-hmm.
Rick in Asheville, North Carolina. Hi, Rick.
Hey, Stephanie. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. Just mentioning, talking about the Arizona race. I used to live in Greenville, South Carolina, and I hung around with a lot of TV people that ended up in TV a long time. One mm-hmm. of the guys who was there that we all used to laugh at was a large, loudmouth buffoon named J.D. Hayworth.
Right.
And
yes.
just the thought that somebody like that made it to Congress and has potentially a senator is really scary.
Yep.
I mean, if I called 20 people that knew him back then, I wouldn't find one person that wouldn't start laughing.
Yeah. Oh, and plus, Rick, you know, the funny thing is the Republican Party largely got thrown out because of all the corruption and the Abramoff scandals, and this is the dirtiest Abramoff guy there was.
Yeah. He was terrible. I mean, he was just a joke in Greenville.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And how he ended up where he is in Arizona, I have no idea. He's from North Carolina originally, and how he made up there, I have no idea.
Yep, neither do we. All right, and neither does John McCain, eh? 45 minutes. I was for immigration, what? All right, we will talk immigration reform, financial reform, and much more as we continue 45 minutes after the hour, the waning moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Do you have any disgruntled employees?
Hell, they're all disgruntled. I ain't running a damn daisy farm. My motto is do it my way or watch your butt.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
50 minutes after the hour, Kara in Humboldt, California. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Kara.
Hi, I'm in Arcata, and anyway, I've got a Grayson thing.
Okay.
It's say Grayson or let us say Grayson. Brett, let's see. My writing is too little here. Fall from Grayson, Grayson's area.
Oh, okay, very nice. Thank
and,
you.
And how?
Oh, I'm sorry. Shoot, I thought she was done.
Will and Grayson.
Will and Grayson.
Now we're getting silly.
Ray in California. Hello, Ray.
Hello. Yes, I'm saying Grayson be with you.
Grayson be with you.
Yeah. As in Grace, Grace be with you. Yes. Okay.
Yes, exactly. All right. Buddy in Columbus on Marco.
Rubio.
Thank you. Marco.
Hey, Mama.
Yes.
If these people in Florida elect this clown, they get what they deserve. I haven't paid a lot of attention to it, but just yesterday he said that he reimbursed the Republican Party because he inadvertently double-billed plane tickets.
Yes.
So he was reimbursed for the plane tickets by the state taxpayers and by the Republican Party. And
yes.
He says it was an inadvertent mistake.
How yeah,
do you inadvertently double-bill something?
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Theo in San Francisco, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Mama. So I want to talk about these idiots in Arizona passing this immigration law. The
yes.
vice mayor of Phoenix was on Rachel Maddow's show last night. I do not mm-hmm. remember the good gentleman's name, but he was pleading with the governor not to sign this bill, to veto it. He stated last night that the city of Phoenix just closed a $240 million budget mm-hmm. gap, and they cannot afford the first lawsuit that is going to hit them when the cops pull somebody
right.
over, a legal
yep.
Hispanic citizen,
mm-hmm.
and ask for papers. Now, he has also submitted a petition to the city manager of Phoenix asking that the police officers of Phoenix stop everyone and ask for papers. Does not matter skin color, does not matter anything.
Yep.
The only way the city can avoid lawsuit is if everyone
yeah, it's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous law, absolutely. It looks like, you know, it is forcing the House to take this up. Excuse me, the Senate, the House will take it up after the Senate does, but I mean, seriously, I've been listening to Ed Schultz talk about this, and he's absolutely right. You're going to have to give some amnesty. For those of you teabaggers with your Reagan signs, you might want to take a historical note that he gave how many millions of illegals amnesty. Mm-hmm. The problem is that's why the McCain-Kennedy bill, I think, was so good. It wasn't perfect, but it was comprehensive immigration reform. It strengthens the border, and you automatically gave all the millions of illegals that are here already amnesty. Right? By not doing anything. We didn't do anything back when that was, close to passing.
And you can't argue for smaller government at the same time you're asking for people to ask for your papers.
Yeah.
Right. But what I'm saying is, yes, we have to, obviously, many administrations look the other way. We've got to secure the borders, but you also are going to have to allow some sort of path for citizenship. You just cannot ship back however many millions of people or whatever,
Send them engines back where they came from.
Exactly.
Like they look kind of brown to me. I don't think they're Americans.
Wow, speaking of bigots, did you see Franklin Graham doubled down on...
Oh, God.
He, when asked about his views on Islam, he affirmed the concerns of critics, saying that he was speaking out for those who were enslaved under Islam and imploring Muslims to convert to Christianity. It's sort of like how Ann Coulter said she likes Jews, but they could be perfected if they would just, convert to Christianity.
Forcing people to give up their religion is a form of enslavement.
Thank you. He said, I speak out for people who live under Islam, who are enslaved under Islam. I want to know they can be free by Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ.
Oh, jeez. Oh.
What's the word for God in Aramaic? Oh, yeah, Allah.
Wow. Speaking of our, I don't know, is this a racist or douche nozzle? I don't know what we're, there's so many asshats in the news today. Yeah. How about the CEO of Massey Energy?
Oh.
Colbert and Don Blankenship's Massey Energy has prevented miners from attending funerals of the 29 victims of the killer explosion at the Upper Big Branch mine. Massey has taken steps to keep up the mining in the grief-stricken community. That's running cold. That's the only important thing. The threat of job loss from Massey's non-union mines, be it spoken or simply understood, has created a culture of fear in some corners of southern West Virginia, where coal is the only real industry and Massey is king of the hill. Wow.
Scary.
Nice.
Evil on so many levels.
There's another story on the Tea Party's exaggerated importance. That's what I've been saying. It really is amazing. This is what happens with the news media is Fox tells them they missed a story, mm-hmm. and now they want to prove they get it, so they keep doing it over and over. What's his name? Pennsylvania Governor Ed Rendell, he made a good point. He said, if I organized a rally for stronger laws to protect puppies, I'd get 100,000 people in Washington.
Right.
I think the media has blown the Tea Party themselves out of proportion. And Cindy Sheehan said they're treated with a lot more respect than the anti-war movement was, mm-hmm. where there were hundreds of thousands of people.
And protesting. Did you see that CNN has hired their own Tea Party reporter now?
Mm-hmm.
They're giving legitimacy to this thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Meanwhile, the American Family Association, a powerful Christian group known for its homophobia, used the anniversary of the Oklahoma City bombing on Monday to declare that the government is a larger, more insidious threat to America than terrorists like Tim McVeigh or Al-Qaeda. Last month, AFA bloggers wrote that federal employees can be shot for passing health care reform, which they termed a Mussolini care bill. Welcome to Politics in America 2010, everybody. Okay, noted socialist President Obama speaking to Wall Street.
Is a common sense, reasonable, non-ideological approach to target the root problems that led to the turmoil in our financial sector and ultimately in our entire economy.
So, he addressed head-on just this basically Frank Luntz lie that mm-hmm. this is a bailout bill when it's exactly the opposite.
There's a legitimate debate taking place about how best to ensure taxpayers are held harmless in this process. And that's a legitimate debate, and I encourage that debate. But what's not legitimate is to suggest that somehow the legislation being proposed is going to encourage future taxpayer bailouts, as some have claimed. That makes for a good soundbite, but it's not factually accurate.
So Senator Harry Reid, who just by way of information is the person that does not think you can pay for your health care with chickens in the Nevada race.
This game is apparent to the American people. My friends on the other side of the aisle are betting on failure again, as they did with health care, as they have done everything this year. They didn't get, they didn't, health care was not Obama's Waterloo. Maybe they want this to be his Waterloo, but it's not going to be.
Yeah, nice try. Try again. He went on to talk about that transparency.
Because we need transparency. We need accountability. We need someone to respond to Wall Street. Because they have not responded to us.
And this was good news from Senator Chuck Schumer of New York.
There's been plenty of time. We don't need another 3 months like we did on the health care bill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. No more of this. We got to go back to the table. We got to start over. Whatever. All right. So Monday, I believe, they will have the first test vote on that one. We will keep you apprised of all of that. I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer, boy toy, Crystal Boy, voice deity, Jim Ward, associate producer, Rebecca Taylor. We'll see you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.